Mr. MacArthur, good morning to you. You may approach and you may proceed.
May it please this court, my name is Brett MacArthur. I'm the intervener in this matter. I would like to reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal. This case arises out of a dispute over who had the interest in a bond that was posted by a defendant in a criminal case that was assigned to me as his attorney. The procedural history that brings us here today in the relevant part is I intervened in the child support case and filed a motion to quash the garnishment that was filed by the state, an affidavit for garnishment summons to seize the proceeds of the bond after it had been assigned to me for my fees. The district court overruled, it allowed me to intervene, but then it overruled my motion to quash and ordered that the proceeds from the bond that was posted in the criminal case by Mr. McCullery be delivered to the state to be credited towards his child support.
How was your assignment different than simply an attorney lien?
Well, a lien, which is specifically noted in the statute, I think it's 251056, a lien gives somebody an interest in property. A workman's lien by a bricklayer gives somebody an interest in a construction, in a house, if someone does brick or stonework on a house. An assignment transfers whatever interest the individual has. So when Mr. McCullery assigned his bond to me in county court prior to the garnishment for the summons of execution, he was giving me whatever interest he had in that bond.
Is that assignment for the purpose of paying your attorney's fees?
That is correct. That is correct. So when he assigned that bond to me and I went down to the county court and filed it, whatever interest he had became mine. And whereas a lien is, we're claiming something that has yet to be resolved. For example, when a medical provider, you know, issues a lien to an insurance company for medical services provided, they have a lien, but they still have to enforce the lien. They still have to, you know, let a court decide or reach some sort of an agreement with the parties involved.
Is there any authority and statute for the assignment of bond money?
I don't know the answer to that. I did not find that. It's not been briefed, so I don't know the answer to that. I think that people make assignments all the time, and I know that in the statute that we cited in our brief regarding the priority of liens, 251056, that statute talks about wage assignments. And so I think that, you know, the idea of assignments is something that's well founded in our legal process, but I don't know that there's an attorney's lien statute.
Does the standard form that the court uses include a place for assignment?
I know in certain counties it does, because I just had a case that I took on where there was a standard form. So in some counties there are. And you know, so courts do allow that. The form that was used in this case was not a standard form that's provided by the court. It was a form that I've commonly used in my office.
Let's be clear on the timing. Had your client already posted bond and been released without an assignment on file?
My recollection of the relevant sequence of events is this. He had a longstanding, and I'll just go through all the relevant time frames so we know sequentially what happened. He had a long-standing debt for child support. A judgment had been entered long ago, back in the 90s, I think. He's arrested. He posts bond. He's, as I recall, he's released. And if I remember correctly, the bond assignment was completed at my office, if I remember from the who notarized it. I think that he must have been released. And I think that my usual practice is to make someone post bond and then have them come to my office and we talk about those matters. So to answer your question, I think he was released, the bond had been posted, the assignment was made, and then 3 weeks or so later, the state came in and filed their affidavit. So
there was some period of time where the bond money was on deposit without an assignment.
Correct. And so then to follow up on where I think you're going with that, there was some period of time from when I had an assignment to when the state filed their affidavit to enforce their lien. So the issue becomes, and I think that we had a conversation last time we were here about this issue, what we're really talking about at the crux of this case, and from my perspective, what I think this court has to answer is, what is the nature of an office and what is the nature of registration? And I think that those are the questions that will ultimately dispose of this case. And I think perhaps you and I had a conversation about that. Is a court an office? Is depositing money, is posting bond, registration, is the process of bonding someone out of jail, registering property?
Are we talking about the court or the clerk of the court, and is there a difference?
I think I think if there's one question that disposes of this case, that is it. I think, is the clerk a county office, number one, or is it an extension of the court? What is the plain meaning of office? What is the plain meaning of a court?
And here it was the county court.
Yes, sir.
Where the bond was posted and where your assignment was filed.
Yes.
And was it ultimately a bind over? And did
yes.
So those things transferred to the district court.
Yes.
But what had happened had already happened.
What had happened had already happened. This was a felony strangulation case, and I represented Mr. McCullery beginning in county court, so your assessment of the timeline is correct. So I think that really what is the heart of this case is, when somebody posts a bond, is that registering property with the court? Because 47371 says that a child support, or that a lien for the support of a person, is superior to other types of, it attaches immediately to property that is registered with a county office. And so what we have to decide is, when you post bond, are you registering property with a county office? And our position, of course, is that that is not the definition. That issue has never exactly been decided, and so that's why we're here. But if you look at the process that someone goes to when they bond someone else out of jail, they go down to the jail, and they're not thinking, I'm going to register property, I'm not enrolling this money into a catalog, which is kind of how the Black's Law Dictionary or Merriam-Webster's Dictionary defines registration. They think that when they're registering perhaps a pet or a car, they go to the county office for the purpose of doing that, for putting the title, the deed of their house into a catalog.
What does the clerk do with it? The clerk makes some record of the money, doesn't it?
Certainly.
Deposit it somewhere?
Well, I think, again, you know, we have to decide what these words mean, and I'm referring to the word deposit. And I think that the money is held, certainly, in sort of a trust, and I think that the clerk certainly has to keep track of who they have to give it back to. There's no doubt about that, but I think that the issue is that when roommate or grandma or wife or whomever, employer, goes to the court or to the jail and says, I'd like to bond, you know, Harry out of jail, they're not going there for the purpose of registering property. That's not why they go there, and that's not what people commonly think is going on.
Is a lien a registration of property? Filing a lien?
I think lien is registering a claim of an interest. It's the analogy that I've used is Dr. Smith believes that he's performed medical services that arise out of a car accident, so Dr. Smith files a lien with insurance company XYZ and says, I have an interest, but that has yet to be resolved.
So that's an inchoate interest.
I think it is.
So here the property that's deposited is money, which of course is fungible. You don't get back the same exact dollar bills that you deposited with the office. So is there any other example that you can think of where a registration is deemed to occur with money as opposed to tangible property like an automobile or a dog or a cat or something?
I cannot think of that.
Well, I'll ask your opponent as well,
yeah.
So we'll give him a chance to weigh
in. So,
is there any guidance available anywhere on what registration means? Are there other states that have similar statutes? Is there legislative history available on this statute? Or are we just left with the plain meaning without other assistance?
You know, this issue has been researched by both sides extensively. We've been here before on this issue. We've appeared in front of two district court judges. We have failed to find anything that's better than what we got.
Does an interpleader inform this discussion?
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
Does a form of action on an interpleader?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm asking a question.
I don't know. This is the most complicated question I've been trying to answer for a while. So it's this. I've weighed in every way that I can and made every argument that I can in every place that I could. So this is the best I can do. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Storer, good morning to you.
Good morning, Your Honor. May I approach?
You may approach and you may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. Might take a moment. Get a glass of water. I'm afraid that I'm recovering from a bit of a cold, so I hate to crack while I'm talking to you all this morning. Chief Justice, opposing counsel, Your Honors, may it please the court. My name is Braden Storer, and I am a Deputy County Attorney in the Child Support Division of the Lancaster County Attorney's Office. I represent the appellee state of Nebraska in this action. I'm here to argue today and ask this court to affirm the decision of the district court in overruling Mr. MacArthur's motion to quash the garnishment and in ordering that the bond money in this case be paid out to the Nebraska Child Support Payment Center to go towards the defendant, Mr. McCoolery's child support arrearages.
You don't have any quarrel with the timeline that Mr. MacArthur outlined?
No, I do not, Your Honor. My understanding is that the bond money was posted with the county court, was registered with the clerk of the county court. There was a 25-day span between the time that the bond money was posted and the time that Mr. MacArthur filed his lien, and at a later date, this was all bound over to the district court.
So you also agree with him that the key to this is what is the meaning of registration and what is a county office?
Correct, Your Honor. I would agree with that, yes.
Can you think of, I'm going to hit you with the question I hit him with. Can you think of any other statute or situation that speaks of registration with respect to money as opposed to specific tangible property?
I appreciated the heads up on that question, and I was trying to think of something to address that. The best thing I can think of is there's no statute that I'm aware of, first, that specifically addresses the registration of money. But as far as I can think, if a police officer confiscates money for the purposes of an investigation, that goes through a process of registration as well. Of course, that's a little different because you're looking at specific cash, dollar bills that are being registered for the purposes of distinguishing this money from all the other property that's being held by the police department. Perhaps the money to be registered with the during the course of probate proceedings?
When the police seize money, they don't deposit it in their bank account.
Not that I'm aware of.
You started with another one. Probate what?
Perhaps during probate proceedings, when you're trying to assess all the property by a decedent, that money might be registered with the court for the purposes of distributing that according to the terms of the will or according to intestacy laws. I'm not super familiar with that. I'm kind of shooting from the hip there.
Okay. Thank you.
What actions does a clerk take when the bond money is deposited with them?
So when the bond money is deposited with the clerk of the court, they assign a specific number to that to the defendant's right to those funds that distinguishes it from all the other bond money. I checked yesterday, and it's my understanding that the clerk of the court is currently holding a little over $800,000 in bond money. So it's important for them to say, this defendant has this right to these funds, and so they register a specific number to those funds. Then they put them on a list and classify them by the defendant, by the bond number, by the defendant's name, by the criminal case number, as well as by the defendant's date of birth.
What's in the record in this case about what is done with respect to registration?
There's an appearance bond fund that was in the criminal case and I can pull that up real quick. That specifically listed out the bond number. It is on page 15 of the record in the criminal case, which states that the appearance bond fund filed by Mr. McCoury in the amount of $5,000 was assigned bond number 115953. There was a specific court receipt number. His date of birth was listed on there as well as his name, as well as the fact that he was informed that 90% of that bond money will be returned to him upon appearance as required for the terms of the bond.
We just have that form. We don't have testimony or an explanation from someone in the clerk's office saying this is the process that's followed for registration.
As far as I'm aware, no, we don't, Your Honor. No.
Was this bond transferred from the county court to the district court?
It was, Your Honor.
And yes. Who was the garnishment filed against? Was it the district court clerk?
It was. Yes, Your Honor.
So the district court clerk is the person of interest that we're talking about.
I would say that the county court clerk is the primary person of interest in this case, because what we're talking about is when was this money registered? And I would argue that the money was registered when it was posted with the county clerk, which happened 25 days prior to Mr. MacArthur's assignment. That was the process that triggered the lien automatically attaching on those appearance bond funds per the statute 42371.
So is the county court a state office, or is it a county office?
The county office, Your Honor. The clerk of the county court, who is the one that is handling all
of this. The clerk of the county court, isn't that a court employee?
Well, the clerk of the county court is appointed by the county court judges to serve the county. And I have a couple statutes that I can share with you which specifically lay that out. 24507, as well as 24511.
And don't all those folks sort of ultimately report to this court?
Yes, perhaps, but what we're looking at here is when we're talking about a county office. An office is a position of duty or authority that exercises, I guess, duty or authority, and has been given that duty and authority by a governmental entity, such as this court, such as the legislature. The clerk of the county court has been appointed to serve the county specifically. Their authority and duty. I'm sorry, Your Honor.
That's right. I was the one interrupting. I'm sorry. Does it matter who pays the county clerk?
No, it does not, Your Honor.
If it's the judicial branch, does that make a difference?
No.
As to the definition of county office?
No, Your Honor, it does not. As I said, office, position of duty, or authority. In this case, the clerk only serves Lancaster County. The authority that the clerk wields does not extend beyond the borders of Lancaster County. They are specifically appointed per statute. I'm going to read the specific language here, so I'm not paraphrasing, to serve each county. And so it doesn't matter where their salary comes from necessarily. They're working in county facilities. They're serving the county. Their authority is only over the county. I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Hasn't this court previously stated that the clerk of the county court is a county office in State versus Meeker?
To be honest, I did not see that case. So I'll take your word for that. Yes.
Is your ultimate argument if the office is in the county courthouse, then it's a county office?
That's evidence in support of the argument, yes. I would say that other evidence in support of my argument, rather, would be that, you know, the clerk only serves the people of Lancaster County. Their authority is over the county exclusively. They're not serving anyone beyond the borders of the county. They don't serve anyone else in the state. Only those within Lancaster County. So.
I'd like to ask you about your argument about the lien attaching and to exactly to what you contend that it attaches. I assume you understand that under our bond statutes, a defendant has the option of posting the entire amount, and if he then fulfills his requirements to appear gets back the entire amount, mm-hmm. or he has the option of posting 10% of the amount, in which event he gets back 90% of what he posted.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe that the state, if someone posts the 10% bond, has any claim whatsoever to the 10% that would be withheld by the court?
No, because our lien attaches to the rights that Mr. McCoolrey, in this case Mr. McCoolrey, has to the bond funds. And if he were to post the 10% in a PR bond, his right to the funds is only to the 90% of what he had posted, and that's what our lien would attach to. Since he doesn't have any rights to that 10%, once it's been posted, our lien can't attach to that.
Also, suppose that he absconds and the bond is forfeited. Mm-hmm. What happens to your lien then?
What we've done in the past is filed a motion to reinstate that bond money for the purposes of garnishing for child support. We've done that in the past. Of course, I've granted those motions in the past.
And what authority is there to do? Because the forfeited bond money wouldn't that, where would that go?
Mm-hmm.
Seems to me it goes to the school districts.
It does. It does. As far as I know, yeah.
So what would be the authority to divert forfeited bond money from the school district to ultimately to some private person?
Sure. For the interest of justice, I believe, is the standard that...
Do you think there might be a constitutional problem with doing that, given that all fines and forfeitures are declared to go to the schools?
Not that I'm aware of. I believe that bond money can be reinstated for the purposes of... May I answer
Sure.
your question? Thank you. I believe that bond money can be reinstated for the purposes of judicial interest, of justice. In this case, if a court decides that they want to reinstate the bond money for the purposes of it going to child support, which is a policy that this court and the legislature of our court has consistently upheld, that child support takes precedence over almost everything else. I believe those are direct quotes from this court's opinions.
Is the school fine thing in the Constitution?
It might be. I'm not sure.
If a court reinstates the bond, is it no longer forfeited?
That is correct.
And that's within the court's discretion?
Yes, it is. There are no other questions. I will step down.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal? We do not have time for rebuttal.